This is Mr. Michael Dean, the warrant hamster. No, what am I? I can't remember, Davi. Help me out.
You're
here.
The iron hamster.
I'm the iron hamster, and Davi Barker on the other end of the inner tubes is the shiny badger. I almost said shiny hamster. And we all have animal wrestling
the
names
iron
here.
Iron badger, the shiny hamster.
The freedom fiends, because...
I'm the warrant badger.
It's a badger who likes the old bad metal band Warrant. Yeah, you're the shiny badger because you run a company called shinybadges.com. Tell us a little about shiny badges.
Yeah, so this is an ad.
Hang on a sec. This isn't an ad. This is not an ad. This is not one of those, like, we're pretending this is an interview, but it's an infomercial. No, this is like our co-host, Davi Barker. And I just, you know, we don't talk about his stuff that much. So today we're going to talk a lot about his stuff. So go ahead, please, with your shiny badger self.
Yeah, so shinybadges.com is a website that sells sort of things that mock and demystify state insignia. I first got the idea when there was that controversy over Obama not wearing his flag pin properly, or maybe not at all, and all the conservatives were like, oh my God, Obama's not wearing an American flag. He must be Al-Qaeda. And so I'm like, hey,
well, he
I
is
want
the
flag.
Devil. He is the devil, and he is a communist, and his feet stink. But
hey,
not,
you know what? If
not
the devil were walking around, he'd be in a business suit wearing an American flag too. So
yeah, that's the thing too. It's like, you know, when you're at the airport trying to stop the bad guy who intends on doing something on the plane, you know, you don't get like the shabby hipster in a t-shirt, which is you, and you were stopped by TSA. I'm not saying shabby. You're not shabby, but you know, put it this way: if somebody was going to do something on a plane, they would look like a businessman. They would try to be as innocuous as possible. And
sure,
they usually do. So go on.
If they're smart about it.
Yeah, that's true.
So anyway, I was just thinking, you know, I want to wear a nice suit. I want to wear a nice lapel pin. Why don't libertarians and anarchists have nice lapel pins? And so I started out making the black and gold anarcho-capitalist flag pin.
I didn't know this about the genesis of the shiny badges. I just thought it was from the phrase shiny badges don't grant extra rights, but I like that it came from the Obama flag pin thing, you know, because his keepers had forgot to put the flag pin on the robot that morning. It was
right.
You know, the zombie wears no clothes.
So yeah, it was highly successful, and I started, you know, adding a design one at a time, because it's like a coin. A lapel pin is not like a button. Like, a die has to be made, base metal has to be pressed, enamel has to be poured in. Like, it's an industrial process.
You're creating jobs for Americans, Davi.
Well, actually, I'm creating jobs for the Chinese. But I did create a job for myself. See, that's the point. Is
there
I
you
went
go.
From working for somebody else to working for myself. And, you know, when I was working for the other company, I was still doing production art, and that production art was still being sent to China. So, you know, and you know what, to be perfectly fair, I looked for a manufacturer in America and I couldn't find one.
Yeah. And I didn't mean just like, I'm not booing Chinese outright. I was kind of being sarcastic, but you know, everything is made in China. But most things, when you go to the, you know, buy locally, source whatever, most things are made in China. I look around my room. Most things in my room, even the electronics, are made in China because I can't afford to buy the American counterparts of them because, you know, because the unions have destroyed the American manufacturing economy, unions and the government.
I'll tell you, though, their customer service is fantastic. This company, once they realized that I was going to be spending a considerable amount of money with them, they sent a sales team to my house to display products.
I had Christians knock on my door today and wake me up. It was different, though.
Well,
I'm
there
not,
you go.
I'm not sure what brand.
Same customer service as the Chinese.
There you go. I'm not sure what brand of Christian it was. They were, to me, they were just the brand that wakes me up, even though it says, you know, no sales calls on my door. I guess they figured they weren't selling something. But, you know, when you knock on someone's door and try to fundamentally change their worldview, I don't even know that they were Christians. They were in a suit, and they were in suits, and they were carrying a book. I know that.
Okay. They might have been trying to sell you, like, organic face cream or something like that.
It's possible. Although, the one thing I heard him say through the door before I said, no, please go away and don't come back, he said something like, we're trying to go worldwide, door to door, and that was enough for me. Face creams don't usually go door to door worldwide.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been successful. We do a the cop block badge, which looks like the Keene police badge, except, you know, it says shiny badges don't grant extra rights. That's where that slogan comes from.
The people that do the American companies that have their manufacturing in China, the ones that do well with it, I know this from two people. One was a vape company and the other was a microphone company that I've done business with. Both of them do their manufacturing in China. What they basically have to do is have one American over there on site, and then it gets done right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, since I've been doing this, I get a lot of sales emails from other badge manufacturers. And, you know, if you want to demonize companies for going Chinese, then you've got to look at the military and you've got to look at the police departments in this country, because they all manufacture their badges and their insignias in China.
Well, yeah.
Or and, Pakistan.
And the a lot of the computer infrastructure of America, of the government, the war machine, of the Department of Defense, is like chips manufactured in China. And they've actually been thinking that might be a problem, because you could actually put a backdoor in a chip, and it's hard to reverse engineer a chip because it's sealed. And, you know, there might be like the Red Dawn switch in the American military computer system.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, here's the thing. This is there's a reason for this, that companies either close in the United States and then open in another country, or just straight up move to another country. And, you know, pretty soon you're not going to be able to get an American made hamburger.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been following this story about Burger
King.
Well,
it'll be cheaper to, you know, make them in another country and ship them literally. You know, the one thing, this was really, is really bizarre to me. There are some McDonald's now where when you pull up to the window and do your order, the person taking the order and typing it in is in India.
Wow.
How is that for small world, man? I mean, like, think about when I was a kid, my sister went to South Africa as an exchange student with Rotary International, and we got a German guy named Adolf, literally. Well,
they probably speak better English.
But, well, they speak English, and they're more educated than in a lot of countries. And I guess they can teach them to fake accents, but, you know, they make a dollar an hour. I mean, it's not pennies, but it's like they make a dollar an hour for what would be like, you know, 15 an hour here or 10 an hour.
I mean, that's wild. That means that you're sort of, you've got to be communicating with them via satellite or something like that. And then they push some buttons and a computer screen pops up in the back room of the thing that says, hey, make this hamburger.
Yeah,
it's like all automated from there.
But when I was a kid, when my sister was in South Africa for a year, we called her once and we like had to arrange it by mail and plan it, and it was because it was $10 a minute in like $1968 or $69. I mean, that's like how much now? 40, 50, 50. So it was like $50 a minute to call, and we called for 10 minutes. You know, we called her once in a year, so it was $500. So, like, think about how technology and the world and commerce has brought down the price of things, that now you can order your hamburger, you know, in your town from India than back to your town. And it's cheaper to do it that way.
Now, see, what would be really interesting is if you had a fast food joint that was close enough to a border that it was cheaper to do the drive-through through India and then to assemble the hamburger in Mexico and have a drone deliver the hamburger over the border to you sitting in the parking lot.
Well, there's a lot of people that live near the Mexican-U.S. border that live in one country and work in the other country, that drive across the a national border to go to work.
Sure.
People with papers. I'm not talking about people that go under fences. I'm talking about people that drive through and show their passport.
Well, you know, I mean, like, borders are like censorship. They're just something to work around during your sort of regular economic activities. You know what I mean? Like, they shouldn't even really be there. The idea that, oh, yeah, I commute 10 miles to work, but I pass through a national boundary, whereas the other person commutes 50 miles to work, but they're always in California. Like, it's sort of like.
And if there's any new listeners who don't understand what the Freedom Fiends are all about, I'll just say it plainly right here. Borders would not be an issue if welfare didn't exist. And I'm not just talking about welfare handouts and free things for poor people. I'm talking about all the way up the line to like corporate welfare. If you got rid of all that, the only people that would cross borders would be people that want to work.
Have you seen the photos? There's some photos that float around of the borders between a handful of European countries, and it's like a dotted line, like between two cafes.
Well, Europe is kind of one nation now.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, that predates the European Union. That's the way you can walk across these borders.
It kind of started. it really kind of started around the fall of the Berlin Wall, because I was in Europe with my band, going all over different countries in Europe in 1991, and I had a passport. I'd never had one, and I was like, oh, I'll get it filled with all these stamps and cool languages and different colors from different countries. And like, I came back with one stamp, and I had to ask for it. Like, they were barely checking passports even then, and they weren't stamping them. They don't
stamp. I mean, that's kind of cool as a collector, I guess, but I kind of wish passports didn't even exist.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, I had none of the knowledge I have now of liberty and how the world works. I was just a rock and roller having fun, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is kind of cool in a sort of a souvenir sort of sense to have like a stamp from each place you've been. It's sort of like those machines that crush pennies into some weird little piece of art.
Yeah. So in the next 2 minutes, can you tell me more about shiny badges? We went off on a heck of a tangent, but let's wrap
it up. Yeah, I mean, it's been highly successful for me. It's sort of been a nice sort of experiment in entrepreneurialism. We've got some new products now. Like, I'm doing patches, and I've got a little utility knife. If you go to causes.shinybadges.com, there are products that if you purchase them, they donate to various worthy causes, like the Fiend Phone, for example, or, you know, CopLock or the Ross Ulbricht Defense Fund, that kind of thing.
Or Hoodie the Homeless.
Hoodie the Homeless. Yeah, if you buy Bitcoin Not Bomb stuff there, we put hoodies on homeless people. If you buy anonymous stuff there, we give money to the EFF. I do.
That's the Electronic Frontier Foundation. So have you recovered yet from your getting heisted of some Bitcoin?
Yeah. I mean, it was essentially like, I didn't go broke. I didn't miss any bills or anything, but it essentially meant that I didn't have investment capital for a little while.
But you've recovered. And, that's pretty good, man. You're a smart guy with money, and people should support you and check out your projects. I mean, I'm not saying support you like charity. I'm saying like, you sell good stuff and people should check it out at shinybadges.com. Dobby Barker, we'll be back after this trip to more of the free market, which may include ads for your products and or services.
Worms.
And we'll talk about what WORM stands for.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
What sets Survival Punk apart from all those other survivalist sites? A rational, creative approach to self-reliance. Applying a punk DIY ethic to survivalism without any of the fear-mongering or tinfoil hattery that pervades the survivalist movement. Survival Punk covers a huge range of topics, along with a healthy bit of myth-busting. Survival Punk provides a ton of dirt-cheap creative solutions to common prepping problems, with an accent on the paleo lifestyle. Check out survivalpunk.com. That's survivalpunk.com.
Looking for a new home with good neighbors, no income tax, an active shooting culture with excellent Second Amendment protections, a great business climate, and less government? Then Wyoming might just be the place for you. And freedom-minded folks are already there. Founded by author Kenneth Royce, FreeStateWyoming.org encourages free trade, political liberty, and voluntary cooperation. Come bask in the laissez-faire Western culture of the cowboy state. For details, visit FreeStateWyoming.org.
Brains. Okay, we're gonna get into zombies later, but this is Mr. Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, with Dobby Barker, Freedom Fiend. I am the... Why can't I do this? You're the shiny badger from shinybadgers.com, and I am the angry hamster, the hungry hamster.
You're the iron hamster. You gotta create a like visual representation in your brain.
I think, and you then gotta that create
picture,
one.
If you can remember that picture, you'll always remember it.
You're our staff artist in the Department of Ministry of Propaganda for the Fiends. If you made me one and I put it on my an iron hamster, I could put it on my
there you
desktop.
Go. I'll make you an icon and then you'll remember.
All right. So to start this next segment, I'm just gonna say worms.
Worms.
Brains. Worms. All right. So on the Freedom Fiends, we do a few things that reasonable people don't generally do. One is we say worms a lot, kind of as a greeting, like the way people use aloha. It can mean worms, can mean hello, goodbye. I wholeheartedly concur and endorse your last statement, sir.
I enthusiastically agree.
Yeah. Basically, it only means those three things, really. Hello, goodbye, and I agree. It's a takeoff on, and we also meow a lot. That's a whole different episode. But and we sing, which is a whole different episode. But we say worms a lot, and it's a takeoff on when people used to say word back in the 80s. It's like really dated hip-hop slang that was really only hip for about a year or two. And I used to play in this band called Slish with this guy named David Immergluck, who now plays with the Counting Crows, or as a lot of people call them, the Counting Sheep, because they are kind of sleepy music. But his guitar playing is pretty good in that band. Great, actually. I mean, he, you know, when he plays, people listen, and it kind of stands out from the rest of that stuff. I do remember the singer in that band used to be in this other band. I can't remember what they were called, and they rehearsed down the hall from my band in the just crappy dive rehearsal space we used to rent that flooded occasionally with our equipment in it in San Francisco in the late 80s. And that guy came down and knocked on our practice door one time. It was kind of like, you know, some, the guy who came this morning to me. He was trying to sell me an idea I didn't want to buy or even look at. And he handed me this flyer and he said, "Hey, I'm starting this kind of like union for musicians where, I mean, it's not like a musician union, but like an audience union. It's like, so we get 10 bands in it and everyone agrees to come see each other's band. So there'd be at least 40 or 50 people at everyone's gig." And I went, "My band's already popular," and like handed the flyer back to him and shut the door. And that was like, that was one of those things of like,
what a way to ruin a show, contractually obligated to go and listen to a band.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, like, and then like later, actually, when he was starting to get famous, he helped out like all the bands that were in on his little pyramid scheme and didn't help us out. And we were on our, after a few years, we were on our way down and he was on his way up. You know, they say, be kind to everybody because you meet the same people on the way down that you meet on the way up. It's absolutely true, my brother. And that Counting Crows story is an example of it. Oh, his band was called the Himalayans. That's what they were.
Himalayans.
Yeah,
I wonder if Counting Crows is a reference to murder.
A murder of crows?
Yeah.
Like stacking bodies?
Yeah.
Stacking bodies with Dookie outside the vacants.
Like, have you ever seen that picture? That's like two crows. It looks like a scene from The Birds, but it's like two crows perched on monkey bars, and it says attempted murder.
No, that's funny. But no, I used one of those crows in the Fiend Phone logo. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I can count them. I can count to one.
Well, the Fiend Phone thing is supposed to be two birds on a wire, but one of the birds is a buffalo because we're from Wyoming. So, you know, I figured it worked. I don't know. It's a cool logo. It's got the
I like it.
Black and gold. It's the pinnacle of my ability to do Photoshop and logo making. I think I made that logo before I knew you. I made that a couple of years ago, but we're just getting around to it. By the way, Fiend Phone, the fundraiser for Fiend Phone is ending Monday or Tuesday. So we've raised about $1,000 with Bitcoin, and we would like to raise some more because Derek's going to start working on this and we want it working really well. So go to fiendphone.com. That's Foxtrot Echo, Echo November, and then phone.com. And if you can't donate any money, please at least share it with your friends. The other thing I want to say is the Fiends are going to be moving servers somewhere next week, sometime next week, late next week. And there will be a notice at the top of the site. But you know, if you experience any difficulties around Thursday or Friday getting on the site, or you can't post a comment, or there's a notice that says if you post a comment, it's not going to stick around because it won't. We already did the move. There's going to be something like that around next week. And I do have to read. I do want to read something about the Free State Project really quick here. The Free State Project is almost 80% of the way to reaching its goal of 20,000 people stating their intent to move to New Hampshire to exert the fullest practical effort in the creation of a new society in which the maximum role of government is the protection of the individual's rights to life, liberty, and property. If you are tired of the constant growth of government intrusion in your area, sign up now at freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org. Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
When I found the Free State Project, I knew it was the key to achieving liberty in my lifetime. It's awesome to be surrounded by like-minded, freedom-loving activists who've moved here to New Hampshire. From politics to civil disobedience, we have it all. Where I came from, it felt that no matter what I did, liberty was dying. Perhaps you feel the same way? Call 888-377-2515 now to learn more about the Free State Project. That's 888-377-2515 or visit freestateproject.org.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN or virtual private network from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
That was a cat being catapulted, which I don't recommend, and I like cats, but you know, we just have this noise a friend of mine used to make, and we quote it as, it's like, you know, because that's a really common sound. It's a sound effect in a lot of movies. It usually ends with the sound of a bunch of garbage cans being kicked over. It just shows someone being careless, but she used to go,
oh, yeah, it's like your generic, something is happening outside.
Yeah,
so obviously
yeah.
A stray cat must be making noise.
Yeah, a stray cat is running away and knocking over garbage cans. And I think they actually probably like, you know, Warner Brothers or one of the old studios, oh, I'm not going to say anything like that because even if it's true, they have teams of lawyers. But, you know, somebody in the movie industry probably in the 40s, because I've heard it the same exact sound going back to like then in movies, and they reuse those things over and over.
what's, you know, that movie where the guy is really high and he says, man, that laugh track is dead people laughing.
I don't know, but you know, they probably like tossed a cat into a bunch of you know, garbage cans in the back lot and recorded it. You know, there's a dog sound, it's like a that's used. There's actually like whole websites of like sound engineers and movie fans devoted to this one dog sound that's in like every movie. Like whenever you see a scene in a movie that's a street late at night and it's lonely and quiet, like to show the loneliness and quietness of it, they have a dog barking in the distance, kind of reverberating, and it's the same sound. They use the same one over and over and over.
Weird.
Yeah.
And I then wonder if that dog gets a royalty.
And then, you know, cliches of movies, like, you know, tumbleweeds rolling by when there's inactivity, although there's actually tumbleweeds growing in our backyard now, I think.
Yeah.
From inactivity.
Or the urban tumbleweed, the old newspaper blowing by.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so we say worms, and it's a joke that I never finished my story because I hijacked myself, but this is now students of the Freedom Fiends Distance Learning Anarchy series of how to do radio. Make a note on this. When you start a story, even if you sidetrack yourself, finish it up later. I'm going to finish it up later. So I was in this band, Slish, with this guy, David Immerglock, who's now in Counting Crows. And we, you know, we were a fun band when we rehearsed, like not so much when we were on stage. The other singer and I would get literally in fist fights on stage. And Immerglock said, forget this. I'm going to go be in Counting Crows. But go back to Counting Crows. He was doing it kind of as a side. Actually, I think it was before he joined Counting Crows. But he was also in Camper Van Beethoven, who did the song Take the Skinheads Bowling. Do you remember that song?
Mm-mm.
I'm surprised. It's from
I never really listened
Northern
to
California.
Crows.
But so he used to say worms as a joke in the 80s, and it was already like word was already dated slang. And I just thought it was really funny, worms. And I started saying that to Nima Vidati when we got on the show, and it kind of became fiend speak. Like somebody today on the Free Talk Live Facebook page said, what is this thing the fiends keep saying? Worms. And somebody said, like, if you have to ask, you'll never know. And I said, must not be part of the inner circle.
A true fiend never tells.
Must be not be part of the inner circle. Yeah, the fiends are like the biggest joke. Not biggest, but we are we're not a joke, but it's a joke that we have secret rituals and stuff because we really don't. And there's no, like, you know, it's not Fight Club or anything, but we kind of joke like it is. And one of those things is the word worms. So You said the other day on the show with Derek, Jays, the night that I got droned and couldn't get on to do the show, I got my internet droned. You said worms should stand for something. And that was said in passing and no one followed up and they went on to talk about copyright law. That stood out to me more than the whole show. The show was great, but that really stood out to me. So what does worms stand for? We need to come up with some things. What do you got?
I have some options. One of my favorite is women opposing rapey scan machine security.
What's a rapey scan? It sounds horrible.
A rapey scan is those porno scanners they have at the TSA. And what you have to know about them is that Michael Chertoff, who was the head of the Homeland Security when they implemented them, was also a lobbyist for rapey scan, which is the company that makes
them. It's Rapiscan, but you call it rapey scan because they do see you naked in them.
Yeah.
Under your clothes.
It's rape culture, man.
Yeah, well, speaking of rape culture, we are going to get later to the pretty bizarre fact that the federal cybersecurity director was found guilty on child porn charges. That's hideous.
It's just one bad apple, Michael.
Oh, we can fix the government. Just get the right men in there. Okay. All right, so go on with your bad worm self. What else does worms stand for?
It stands for the War on Regulatory Monopoly States. Which is all states. I mean, that's sort of redundant.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Let's see. World Orthodox Reform Monetary System, which is could be a name for Bitcoin. It's kind of unorthodox, but it wouldn't fit the acronym otherwise. But, you know, it is a reform monetary system. But in that it doesn't, you know, I actually heard somebody say, there was an article called Why I Want to See Bitcoin Crash and Burn. And it was some kind of hipster liberal writer. And I think really I think the real reason he wanted it to crash and burn was because I think he hadn't gotten in early enough for it to be useful. I mean, there's people who literally made millions overnight on no money when they got, you know, people that got into Bitcoin when you could mine it really easily and it was worth nothing. There are people who just plugged in like five computers or something and ran them all the time who are millionaires now who did that for a year. But yeah, he said that one of his complaints was that he said that Bitcoin sounded like an anarchist plot invented to, or an anarchist weapon invented to destroy the central banking system. And I was like, why is that a negative? You know, it sounds like,
exactly.
You know, people complain about the banking system all the time. Like it must be fixed. And like fixing the banking system is like kicking a building with your foot, kicking a skyscraper and hoping it'll collapse or change.
Well, so you know what we need to do is we need to change the color of the carpet in the lobby of the Federal Reserve.
That's the kind of like polishing the brass on the Titanic kind of things that people say about fixing government and making it work. It's the whole thing exists on theft, fraud, aggression, lies, and, you know, just people with power trips who want to destroy you and can and sometimes do for things that are not, you know, crimes, don't have a victim. So the other thing is, this is what the government would look at Bitcoin as, and it also stands for worms, is war on rational monetary systems, because they actually believe that printing things and not backing anything with anything and regulating everything is a rational monetary system. So they could say Bitcoin is a worms or war on rational monetary systems. So what else you got?
I got the Wyoming Online Radio Mental Syndicate.
Ooh, that is good. Say it again, please.
The Wyoming Online Radio Mental Syndicate. I'm not totally happy with mental in that acronym, but it, you know, I'll work on it.
Although there's a small government, no government forum called Mental Militia. I've always liked that name. And I'm some friends with some people that are involved in it. Go check it out if you want. It's a good site, Mental Militia.
If we could make it WORM was the acronym instead of worms, you could do Wyoming Online Radio Militia.
Yeah, but there really isn't one. I think there are two people in this state that are syndicated. We're on 26 stations now, and there's another guy out of Riverton or something that's on three stations, two of the ones that we're on and then the one he does it from. Like, Ian Freeman recently asked me, like, are you the only guy in Wyoming doing a syndicated radio show? And I'm like, I don't know. Let me get back to you on that. I mean, nothing's jumping out at me. And then I did some sleuthing and found out, yeah, there's a guy I don't remember what his site's called, but he makes really funny memes every day and sends them out that are pretty funny, or shares really funny memes. I like that. I haven't heard his show much because his website archive crashes my browser. But he's on radio. So Wyoming, say it again.
The Wyoming Online Radio Mental Syndicate.
No, the militia one.
The Wyoming Online Radio Militia.
Yeah. I don't know if I like the word militia for radio in Wyoming, because like I said, there's not one. It's myself and a guy I've never talked to, and we're not really, so that doesn't really constitute a militia, but you know, I guess we could imagine that there's one, or hope that if we build the acronym, they will come. But
yeah.
I kind of like being the only one, or one of the only ones. So, all right, let's see. Wyoming Original Radio Militia Society, World Orthodox Reform Ministry Services. That sounds a little too culty for me.
I just like Orthodox and Reform.
Yeah, Orthodox and Reform in the same acronym. That is pretty mind clustery. All right, so Weapons of Rehabilitating Misinformed Statists. You came up with that one, right?
I like that one too.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Do we have any more?
I'm looking for an S on this one. I have Weapons of Radical Minarchist Something. The only thing that comes to mind is stupidity.
Stupidity. That's slavery. Try with slavery.
Weapons of Radical Minarchist Slavery. Or it would be Weapons Against Radical, but that doesn't work.
Yeah. I think I'm done with this unless people want to. Here, we'll fiend source it.
Yeah.
If people want to go to. I don't know. I don't like getting email. Go to the Phoenix.
People can email me. If they want to email them to me, it's davi@bitcoinnotbombs.com. That's davi@bitcoinnotbombs.com.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. There you go.
So send me your acronym. Send me your worms.
Send me your worms. Yeah. Davi likes people in communication with the outside world. I'm like, leave me alone. I talk, you listen if you want. Yeah. All right. So what's the next topic, sir?
Where do you want to go? We got Market Basket, Burger King, Federal Cybersecurity.
Burger King.
Yeah. So this has been sort of a weird, like it's a marriage of bizarre ideologies, but essentially Burger King is saying that they don't like it. And so they're leaving. And people are upset about that. Like it's not totally inevitable that people don't want to continue to pay rising taxes. But the story is that Burger King is moving their headquarters to Canada. And they're essentially doing it because technically, like on a national level, Canada has higher corporate taxes than the U.S. But Burger King's headquarters is currently in Florida, which has one of the highest state corporate income taxes or capital gains or whatever corporate taxes are. And so they're like, yeah, I don't like it. And so I'm leaving. And then people flip out and they're like, I'm going to boycott Burger King and it's unpatriotic and da 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 da.
The funny thing is, I mean, there's so many things wrong with that. One would be like most American flags that people are waving are made in China these days. You know,
hey, most police badges people are wearing are made in China.
Yeah.
So,
most of what, you know, a lot of what goes in the military industrial complex is made in China. You know, a lot of computer systems, computer hardware. You know, you should boycott your government if you don't want someone doing business heavily with other nations or doing tax shelters. I mean, the whole federal government and every state government are a tax shelter. You know, do they pay taxes? No. All right. We'll be back.
Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Shiny badges on your jacket, shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Yeah, we come back laughing. Because you don't know what we're talking about during the ads.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
You have to donate enough to become a Freedom Fiend first class to hear the breaks.
the inner circle. Yeah. All right. So we're going to talk about Burger King. Then we're going to talk about Bitcoin and frozen heads. Yeah. And we're not saying that Burger King does not sell frozen heads.
It's no, they sell frozen hamburgers. It's a different topic. So there's a tie-in.
Yeah, they're pretty good, and that's not advertising. It's just, yeah, this is almost a nonprofit venture. It's a slight profit venture, but it works out to like, I don't know, I make like 40 cents an hour or less. I should
well, you
sue
should go
myself.
On strike until you agree to pay yourself more.
There you go. All right. So speaking of those, speaking of bad economics taught in government school, people are upset at Burger King. Now, is this a left-right thing or are both having beefs?
It's both.
Beefs.
It's,
they're having beefs. Nope.
It's
pun
this
intended,
weird like overlap between like tax and spend, like and, like corporate tax liberals, like let's tax the 1%. And then you've got your patriotic crowd who's like, it's unpatriotic to leave America.
Okay, first of all, let's address the unpatriotic to leave America. What else is manufactured in China?
In China?
Yeah, you were talking about like, you know, people who are like, buy only American. I mean,
I'm always impressed by the number of things that the government manufacture. Like, there are governments always talking about creating jobs, and the government has unlimited wealth, essentially, and yet they still go for the cheap Chinese manufactured stuff. And I mean, this is top to bottom. This is including like police and military. Like,
yeah,
the awards that the military gives their soldiers were manufactured
some of them,
in China.
Some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And really, the basis of the whole thing, you said that American money is a Chinese product. Now, that's pretty incendiary accusation. Explain and show your work, please.
If you want to boycott Chinese products, boycott the dollar. And what I mean by that is, now, I don't mean Chinese printed, although maybe the U.S. buys their ink from China. What I mean is that the dollar essentially is a creation of debt. That when the Treasury or the Federal Reserve creates a debt, it creates the backing of future whatever. And so if most of that debt is held by China, then the thing backing the dollar is Chinese made goods.
Yeah, there you go. And you know, Bitcoin is the alternative, and Bitcoin, the decentralized internet currency, Bitcoin. We don't know who created it. I mean, it was created by a guy who called himself Satoshi Nakamoto, which sounds Japanese, but there is a lot of conjecture as to whether or not that's one actual person, whether that's his real name. They actually found a guy who had that name who wasn't him and thought he was him, and some reporters ruined his life by drawing attention to it, and everyone showed up on his doorstep and demanded interviews and demanded a blessing from the Pope of the internet.
And he said, no, I don't work for Bitcom.
Yeah, did he say that?
Yeah.
Bitcom. That's funny. Yeah, so Satoshi could be anything from an actual Japanese-American or Japanese-Japanese guy named Satoshi Nakamoto to, you know, a team at Google to a team at the NSA to, you know, one...
I think he's a reptilian alien from Planet X. That's, you know, what I think.
To one nerdy kid living in his mother's basement on a pile of Bitcoin.
Some people thought it was a waitress in Los Angeles, like a starving actress. That's one theory that floats around. There's lots of theories that float around. Here's the thing. Nobody's ever seen him. It's kind of like it's an article of faith that Satoshi Nakamoto.
Well, somebody
exists.
Was saying the other day was saying that Bitcoin is not a cult. But it has a lot of the indicators of a cult, including it's more like a religion than a cult, because a cult is usually led by a single human figurehead or sometimes a couple, you know, a mother and father.
Satoshi Nakamoto is not really a charismatic leader.
Yeah, well, he is in a way. People talk about him. I mean, his mystery makes him charismatic. And the thing is, like, he's more like the head of a religion than the head of a cult, because you can't actually prove he exists, but you can see his works in the world everywhere.
Yeah, that's kind of exactly. So, I guess his white paper is made. He's delivered one sermon. There's like the first and final sermon of Satoshi Nakamoto. There's a First Supper. People talk a lot about the pizza that was purchased for 10,000 or 100,000.
Well,
Bitcoin
and then there's
whatever.
One. There's one miracle was actually like creating Bitcoin and releasing it to the world.
Well, that's what backs it. I mean, that's his miracle, is he converts electrons into money.
It's pretty special, man. We'll be back with more about, I don't even know what the topic is, but we will find it and return to it, because if you're doing the distance learning radio series of the Freedom Fiends, that's what we do. We go on tangent after tangent, down conocentric parenthetical wormholes and hypertextual conversations, but we come back to what we finished the story we started.
And
we'll do that in hour two. Squirrel, squirrel, shiny things. Worms.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yeah. I hear you brushing that cat, Dobby.
Yup.
I know what you're up to. You think you can hide. You can brush, but you cannot hide.
It might sound like brushing a cat is a euphemism, but no, this is my cat Fiasco, and he just needs a good brushing.
Let's hear it. Here, I'll turn down that? My mic. You brush your cat.
I'm brushing him.
He seems to be giving off an electric hum.
Yeah, that's good radio right there, brushing good radio, a cat.
But can you dance to it? It needs a rhythm. A snappy beat, and the kids can dance to it, and it's got a catchy hook. Yeah. So Burger King, what's people's beef with it? I couldn't resist, and it's not even very funny, and I'm sure I'm like the 10th or 12th radio host to make that joke, but go ahead.
Basically, what they're upset about is whenever anybody complains about taxes, they say, if you don't like it, you can leave. And Burger King said, all right, we're leaving. And now they're upset. Well, that's the long and the short of it.
There's two different theirs here. There's the leftist Occupy Wall Street types and the right-wing We Love America and Don't You Dare Criticize It type. So the there you're talking about in this case.
Well, they both say that. The left and the right both say, if you don't like it, you can leave.
But it's weird
because they just say it about different issues.
It's weird because the right usually says, you know, smaller government, smaller taxes, drown government in a bathtub. We want it so small. But what's more small government than leaving the intrusion of your government and going somewhere else?
You right. Well, so the really nasty thing about this is that people are using it to argue or to get support for something called
the left is using it. Go ahead.
That's true. This is a left thing. But it's called the Stop Corporate Inversions Act of 2014. And inversions basically means merging with a foreign company and moving your headquarters to the foreign country to avoid U.S. taxes. And this act essentially says, oh, yeah, if your stockholders are still in the U.S., we're still going to tax you as a U.S. company. And it basically means you can't leave. Like, that's what this means. So it's just nasty.
There was an interesting discussion on Free Talk Live yesterday, which you can – it's another radio show. We're on a lot of the same stations. We're on a few. They're not. If you don't get Free Talk Live on your local station, go to freetalklive.com and check them out. They're really good. They're kind of like us, but they take calls and they're on more stations. And if they're not on your local station, consider checking them out. And if you like them, call your local station and ask them politely to carry them. Ask for the program director and say, hey, you should carry Free Talk Live. They're like the Fiends, but they take calls, so I could yell at them. They had a discussion yesterday about what it takes to actually leave America. Like if they say, if you don't love America, get out. If you say, okay, I've heard that my whole life, I'm going to get out. To actually leave and transfer your wealth to another country and, I don't know if renounce citizenship is the word. I think there was another word like reconciliate, something of citizenship. You know, it's the process of like removing yourself from the chattel inventory of the state, and like
it's expatriating, I think is the word.
Well, there's a word for you. Actually, when you do it, you have to, and you still have to pay a ton of exit fees and taxes, and probably,
and not to mention there are people who actually can't leave. There are people, if the IRS says that you owe the money, you can't leave. If your name rhymes with the name of somebody in the Middle East, you can't leave.
If you're a convicted felon, you can't leave in some situations. Like, think about that. Like, you're a bad person, so we're going to keep you here.
Here's the other thing. Even if you don't owe any taxes, if the IRS determines that the reason you're renouncing citizenship is to avoid paying taxes, they can deny your request to renounce your citizenship.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. There's actually like an oath you have to take to do that. You know, you have to go to the consulate in whatever country you're in, the U.S. consulate, or to some building in Washington, D.C., or, you know, the local field office in Denver or whatever. Turn over your passport, fill out a paper, pay $200, do not pass go, pay $200,000. And then you have to take this un-oath. You have to, like, raise your hand and basically unpledge allegiance to America to leave the country for good and not, you know, be indebted, to go be indebted to some other country, basically. And yesterday, they were curious about what this oath is, and they read it on the air. Now, has Daryl Perry expatriated by reading that out loud on the radio in front of hundreds of thousands of listeners?
I don't know. I mean, if it's a spell, I mean, it's a
magic spell. Yeah,
I've seen Evil Dead. If you read those words accidentally, I think it happened.
Well, he didn't. I was watching the webcam. I didn't see him raise his right hand. So I think he's still an American. There you go. So, yeah, this whole thing of, like, you know, I really think that choosing your nationality. Okay, here's a minarchist hat. Let's put on our minarchist hat for a second. I can't find mine. I tried to do this with Bill, and he's like, mine's large and it's red, white, and blue, and it looks like the Pope's hat, but we couldn't find it. So,
well, I have one of those. I have an Uncle Sam hat.
Okay. So put on your Uncle Sam hat for a second and imagine you think things can be fixed. If we just get the right men in there.
Okay.
I really think that if you're wearing your America's hat, I think choosing your nationality should be as hard as choosing your phone company. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. You should get calls during dinner from other countries saying, hey, would you like to change your tax policy?
That would be the free market. It was like, it would
we
be like
offering a 6-month instead of
nations, like, you know, arresting you and, you know, pointing guns at your head and making you do things. They would just annoy you during dinner. They'd probably come to your door and wake you up on a Sunday morning. Hi, have you heard the word of Liechtenstein? Here are the advantages of Liechtenstein's citizenship.
Right, so would America go all Saudi Arabia about it and not allow people to proselytize other nationalities in the country?
Yes, America is going. Okay, let's talk about how America is becoming like Saudi Arabia.
Okay, well, you go first. Set the trend for me.
Censorship. You know, in the form of requiring licensure for various things, of cracking down on speech, of having free speech zones. It's kind
arresting people for saying the wrong song lyrics on Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Okay.
Yep. And you know, there are certain things that are kind of enforced by horizontal enforcement here rather than by, you know, state edict, but they come from the state down, top down, and get, you know, meted out by your neighbors, you know, everything from, like, going harumph when you don't put up, if you don't put up a flag on,
you know,
July 4th.
That's a really excellent point, because I did see mostly horizontal enforcement when I was in Saudi Arabia. And people don't realize how much public government-run education is about teaching people how to horizontally
because,
enforce things.
You know,
on each
can't
other.
They can't have a cop with a rifle pointed at you on every corner and in your house. Your neighbors,
but the class will snicker if you say the wrong answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's about humiliating people or making them feel like bad people for giving the wrong answer.
Yeah. Yep. So we were talking about Burger King. Somehow we ended up in Saudi Arabia. And let's take a little left turn, or is it a right turn? We'll take a right turn since we're on talk radio. We'll take a right turn and go back to Wyoming. And so Burger King. So people are upset because they're trying to get a more structured tax deal. Now, one of the largest corporations in America, I'm not going to say their name because they have more lawyers than I have cat hairs in my house on the floor before I vacuum. You know, one of the largest corporations in America ostensibly pays zero taxes. And yeah, they make toasters and dishwashers and things like that that we all have in our homes and use and love. But they also make the intercontinental ballistic missile guidance launch systems. You know, they basically are not, they are, they basically are an arm of the Department of Defense. You know, they are basically the people making the drones and making the guidance systems for the drones. And this company, and they make your light bulbs and they make your TVs, they pay zero taxes. And, you know, they're the most American company there is, and everybody loves them. And they have all sorts of offshore manufacturing, and, you know, they're too big to fail. And so it's kind of specious to pick on Burger King because they want to go get a better deal somewhere. It's just self-defense, man. It's just trying to, you know, if you put it this way, if you love, I don't know if I have an, you'll have to come up with the argument to try to convince the lefties of why they shouldn't be complaining. But I have the argument for the righties. If you love small government and lower taxes, you should be absolutely in favor of Burger King going to Canada. What's your argument for the lefties?
First off, the board of directors or the CEO of a corporation have a fiduciary responsibility to their stockholders to do what makes the most economic sense.
They could go to prison for not moving to Canada, basically.
Yeah. But the argument for the left is, hey, you know what? Most of your taxes are paying for bombing people. So if you're not in favor of bombing people, having people pay less taxes should be like up on your high priority.
Yeah. It's really hard to use that.
There's less blood in your hamburger now, is what I'm saying.
Their heads just explode when you try to tell the left, you know, if you're anti-war, you should try to pay less taxes, even legally, pay less taxes, because they have been so indoctrinated by public schools to believe that taxes provide roads and schools and the air that we breathe. And without taxes, there wouldn't be roads and everyone would be stupid and illiterate and living in ditches pushing berries up their nose.
Well, I don't want to shock you, but public schools are funded by taxes. And so there's a little bit of a conflict of interest when public schools teach you about taxes.
Public schools teach you to be a good tax kettle. That is why they exist.
Right.
My mother taught me to read. I was not homeschooled. I went through through seventh grade in public school, then went to a Christian kind of work camp boarding school called the Church Farm School in eighth grade, and went through 11th grade and got kicked out of the school between 11th and 12th grade. That's a whole different story. During the summer when I was home, I got kicked out of the school and my grades were fine. It wasn't that, it was just, I was, you know, I had opposite, they probably would now would probably say I have oppositional defiant disorder and drug me, but fortunately I'm 50, so I missed being a thalidomide baby by a couple months or a couple years, and I missed being drugged in school by a couple years. So
yeah.
I lucked out with the forced drugging that ruins your life on both ends.
You know, public school didn't teach me to read, but they did teach me to hate to read. Mm. Like, it was like the things that they asked me to read in school seemed like so stupid and pointless and like below my level that I hated reading. And it wasn't until I got out of school and I found books that I enjoyed reading that I learned to read, that I learned to love to read again.
My first day of My first day of kindergarten, I picked up one of those Dick and Jane books, you know, Spot sees Dick, Dick sees Jane. Like, it's all like adjective, noun, verb, like three or four word sentences with single syllable kind of thing to teach you to read.
Yeah.
I picked one of those up my first day of kindergarten and read it out loud. And the teacher heard me reading it to myself out loud to another kid. She had me read in front of the whole class, and kids wanted to beat me up because I would read. That's public school for you, man.
Horizontal enforcement of dumb.
Worms.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Freedom Fiends, coming into your ear hole over some radio waves with some 100-year-old technology that still is, despite the internet, I think one of the coolest technologies out there. I am a big fan of radio, and I like radio, and I like being on radio. It's pretty nifty, man. And now we're on in Maine, in Bangor, Maine, on a station in Derek Slopey's hometown. And it's kind of cool and kind of weird. Like, he actually listens to the radio there. So we have at least one listener, one very regular, devoted listener in that town. And, you know, he has his hacker club, and they probably listen. And that's not hacker like destroying things. That's hacker like building things, which was the original meaning of the word hacker. And so that's WNZS in Bangor, Maine, 1340 AM. We welcomed him last week, but I want to welcome him again because That one took a long time, and nothing about the station, just sometimes it takes a long time. And that was a year of work on my end to get the Fiends on that station, a year of keeping at it. And I thank the brave program directors that program the Freedom Fiends. They are not doing what the old did. They're doing what the new is, you know. Like a lot of people, they want to go with the dinosaurs in any industry. Like in music, they'll go sign the band that sounds like Nirvana because Nirvana's got famous, you know, last week or whatever, whenever that happened. And by the time a new kind of thing gets big, it's already like too late to sign the copycat. So you should sign up the Freedom Fiends right now. And if you're listening on the internet, you can also call your local talk station, talk to the program director, be polite and say, hey, there's this show called the Freedom Fiends on Genesis Communications Network. I would love to hear them on the local radio station, and I would tell my friends. That can get people on. Free Talk Live does this all the time. I've never done it. I think I'm going to start doing it because radio's good, and we like being on radio. So we want to talk about, speaking of hackers who build things instead of destroy things, Hal Finney. Do you know about Hal Finney?
I know a little bit about Hal Finney.
Hal Finney. He's, go ahead.
Well, he's a world-famous cryptographer, I suppose you could say that. It's hard to say world-famous cryptographer, but in hacker circles, he's definitely a household name.
Well, and, he was. He died August 28th.
That's right.
Yeah, he died 2 days ago.
That doesn't mean that he's gone.
Right.
So this guy, he worked on developing the Tor software, which is sort of an anonymizing internet service system. And he's also one of essentially the number two man on Bitcoin development. He's purported to be the person who received the very first Bitcoin transaction from Satoshi Nakamoto.
Yeah, and to be clear, he didn't necessarily work on the development of Bitcoin, but Bitcoin integrates something he invented, which is a reusable proof of work system. Like he came up with that for something else. Basically, I think it was for preventing email spam. It was kind of a thing where like your computer would have to do a little bit of work to send an email. And, you know, so it would cut down on spam. It was implemented, I think, by Microsoft for a minute. It was called the Black Stamp Program, but it didn't really catch on. The market didn't really encourage it, but or embrace it. But he came up with that, and that is used in how Bitcoin functions. You know, there's six or seven different kind of technologies that sort of previously existed, and one or two that didn't, that were all put together to make the whole Bitcoin ecosystem. And Hal Finney came up with one of them. He's also known for he was a developer at PGP, the PGP Corporation, the people who invented Pretty Good Privacy, which is still used today, and it is a method for sending emails and files to, you know, text files to people that are uncrackable even today. You know, like I remember when it came out, it was outlawed for export because it was considered a munition. You know, it was like in the early 90s, and Joe Biden tried to outlaw using encryption. Like literally, he tried to outlaw the citizens having, you know, people that weren't the government having the ability to talk to each other without the government eavesdropping and stealing all their trade secrets and things like that. So he's a pretty revolutionary guy, and he was the second person to receive Bitcoin, or the first person to receive Bitcoin. Satoshi, when he was, you know, testing Bitcoin and inventing it and got it to the point where it worked, he sent some Bitcoin to Hal Finney.
Right. And so the reason he's making headlines now is because, he died last week of ALS, and he's being cryogenically frozen, which is like stuff of science fiction. It's essentially they're bringing his body to a temperature so low that it is preserved, so that one day maybe if there's a cure for ALS discovered, that he can be sort of thawed out and revived.
He's cryogenically frozen. There should be a Bitcoin challenge where you pour Bitcoin on your head to cure ALS.
There you go.
Yep. The raw chicken challenge.
With Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations, and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Freedom Fiends. Yeah. Serving up delicious pod beef since 2011. What's up, Dobby Barker?
Not much.
So, we're talking about Hal Finney, the first recipient of the Bitcoin Award. No, the first guy who was ever sent Bitcoin by Satoshi. He also invented, helped invent PGP, or helped create and improve PGP early on. Pretty good privacy. Which hasn't really caught on much with the masses, but your government hates it and wants it to go away, so you should look into it. And he did some other cool stuff. He was a game developer early on. He developed one of the console-based Tron games. And he passed away this week from ALS, and I'm sad. And he has frozen his head. His head or his whole body?
I don't know.
A lot of times they just freeze the head because it's easier and cheaper and requires less maintenance, and they figure if you have the head, you'll be able to print the body someday or something. But
that's a long-term plan. No, it looks like it's his whole body.
And you said this is the ultimate ice bucket challenge?
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, for those that don't know, the ice bucket challenge is this thing floating around
for
the internet where
for
people
those, hang on. For those
live
of you
under a rock.
For those of you who have just been reanimated from cryostasis 500 years in the future, and of course in the cryostasis recovery room, of course they're going to be playing Freedom Fiends that have been shared on torrents and kept alive. That's kind of the cryostasis of podcasts.
Yeah.
And you wake to them, you know, hearing us talk about this. We will now explain what it is. In case you've been living under a pile of dry ice. Yeah.
It's essentially people are dumping buckets of ice water on their head to promote charity or donating to the ALS Association, which is a charity that funds research for ALS, I suppose.
Which is what he died of. Now, here's my problem. I like memes, and I mean, a lot of them are really stupid, including this one. But I like the idea of things that spread and get popular that are ridiculous. And, you know, especially if they're for a charity. I like charities. I like the idea of charity. I like the way you run charities better and help people run charities. You help teach charities to use Bitcoin so they don't have to deal with all the government muckety-muck. What is your site for that? What is that called?
That's BitcoinNotBombs.com, which is sort of a launching pad for charitable projects to adopt Bitcoin and use it as a fundraising mechanism.
Yep.
And there's a lot of reasons to do that. If you are not interested in the government paperwork, it makes it easier to work around the nonprofit status. If you're an international charity, it makes it easier to send money across borders, things like that. And, you know, there's no blood in it.
Yeah. What do you mean by that?
Well, the military-industrial complex is funded by dollars. Dollars are funded by debt. By possessing U.S. dollars, you're participating in the debt economy, which is in turn lends spending power to the military-industrial complex. So even by holding dollars, you are in some way benefiting the military.
You're benefiting murder of, you know, mostly innocent people around the world. If that's not enough to make you, the listener, care, how's this? It also funds and drives the militarization of your local police department, which are the people who are going to kick in your doors and take your guns when President Hillary or whoever is after her outlaws them. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'll die on my boots fighting. But you know what? It's getting to the point where they're just going to send robots to take your guns.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you're
for sure.
You may damage a memory module on a robot as it's killing you and taking your guns, but they'll just grab one of their Chinese made backup things from a drawer and plug it in, like in Westworld, where they have the robot repair facility in the basement. Your local police department will have that if it doesn't have it already. So here's my problem with the ice bucket challenge, though. It's a social contract. People can tag you. People tag you at the end of it. They pour ice on their head. If you're just being frozen, reanimated from cryostasis, you know, 500 years in the future, when there's a cure for whatever you died of, and you are a libertarian billionaire who cornered the market in Bitcoin early on, and we have a couple listeners like that. So if you're one of those people and you're just waking up, you didn't have time during your lifetime to listen to all the fiends because you were too busy, you know, doing stuff and living life. But, you know, in cryostasis, they played all the fiends for you, kind of like in Demolition Man, you know, like the guys wake up from the ice prison and they know how to do things they couldn't do. They had like re-indoctrination programs put in their brain. That'll be the fiends that they'll play for you. So if you're waking up hearing like, what's this ice bucket challenge? And you're hearing this on repeat and it's coming up again and you can actually comprehend it all because you're conscious now. And there's flying cars powered by Bitcoin and no government by that point, and everyone's living in a libertarian paradise. The ice bucket challenge was a thing around the year 2014 that where people took buckets of ice and filmed themselves or had their friends filming them pouring like a gallon of ice and water on their head, which is an extremely shocking feeling to have done to you. And they film it. And then at the end of it, you say, I tag you and you, and you tag two of your friends or two.
Yeah, it's a chain letter.
Yeah, it's a chain letter. And the two people are supposed to do it. And if they don't do it, they're supposed to donate money to a charity. It was originally to help fight or find a cure for ALS. But now it's for everything, all sorts of things. But it's a social contract, man. I don't like – it's the government. It's people acting like the government. It's people saying –
I didn't sign that bucket.
I didn't sign that bucket. I don't have to do that. Yeah. So if anybody –
the other
problem
is the ALS Association doesn't take Bitcoin. So I have no way of giving to them.
Yep. There you go. But you could probably donate Bitcoin to the Keep Hal Finney's Head Frozen. You know, you could probably send someone some Bitcoin to help pay the electric bill. I wonder if like it's in a place that's like mining Bitcoin somehow with the power of keeping him frozen.
Well, I don't know. Bitcoin miners produce a lot of heat. It's more likely that would be how they thawed him.
There you go.
But what I think is that there is a conditional transaction limit, or there's essentially a trigger transaction that says when to thaw him, essentially. So like once Bitcoin like 10x's a few more times,
yeah,
that there's like an autonomous transaction waiting to happen when that occurs, so that he'll be thawed at a particular spot value of Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So are
it's
we
possibility.
I have a theory though that he's not in some cryogenic lab somewhere that's set up for this. I think he's in like some nerdy teenage kid's closet.
Maybe, you know, maybe it's that Satoshi Nakamoto came to him and said, hey, do you want to join me in my underground bunker? All you have to do is freeze your body and upload your consciousness onto the blockchain and we'll hang out, you know, in the North Pole in this server.
You know, Satoshi and these two guys combined are so smart that they could probably do that without having to rely on any third party. They probably just built an underground bunker somewhere, powered it with, you know, nuclear ion chelting or something, something they came up with. There's probably all sorts of world-changing technologies that they've invented and kept to themselves. Maybe Bitcoin was just the throwaway.
Yeah.
Maybe PGP was just the throwaway.
It's the scrap on the floor of the workshop.
There's tobacco. The generic cigarettes that you can buy are basically like what falls on the floor from the manufacturing of brand name cigarettes. They're made by the same companies, but they just have a guy making minimum wage who takes a big broom and sweeps up the floor, and that's what they make the generic cigarettes out of. And also, Mad Dog 2020, you know, MD 2020, that like wino wine.
It's like fruit punch and alcohol.
Yeah, it's like the cheapest strong liquor you can buy in the smallest bottle. So a lot of homeless alcoholics like it. That's made by the Mogan David Wine Company, which is it's not a high-end wine company, but it's, you know, good table wine that you'd buy in the supermarket kind of wine. And I mean, they might have a high end. I don't want to say they don't, but I know them for back when I was drinking more than 20 years ago. You know, it was, you could buy it in the supermarket back then for, you know, a $10 bottle of wine, which is not connoisseur wine, but it's certainly not Night Train or Mad Dog. And, but they make that, you know, it's, but they don't want their name on it. So they call it MD. The MD stands for Moga David, but it's, you know, people just call it Mad Dog. So maybe Bitcoin is the Mad Dog of the technologies that this team of Hal Finney and Satoshi Nakamoto came up with. And they have, they kept the best for themselves. And in 500 years, when they, when their North Pole ice cave opens up and reveals them to the world and thaws them out and prints, 3D prints a new body for them, maybe all that stuff will be revealed. It, kind of like in Man Who Fell to Earth with David Bowie, like this guy comes from another planet and he has all this advanced technology that's commonplace on his planet. And he finds a patent attorney and just starts patenting things. Like within a couple of years, he's one of the richest guys in the world.
You know, in addition to being a transhumanist, this guy also says he's an avowed libertarian. I wonder if, like, if that could be the future for LibPair is, like World War III happens and all the aggressive people in the world nuke each other, and meanwhile, all the good libertarians are cryogenically frozen, and we sort of build the new world.
Yeah, in their windowless high-tech bunkers that just keep them alive until a certain trigger event on the blockchain happens. Maybe.
Well, it could be the nuclear fallout that thaws them out. I mean, like, maybe that's the trigger.
Yes, insert EMP here to, you know, just a instant LibPair. It'd be kind of like Operation Paperclip, was it? It was the U.S. government poaching all of the Nazi scientists and Jewish scientists that were fleeing World War II. Or it was a combination of both.
No, that's not what Paperclip was. Paperclip was after World War II, and they went, let's not charge these guys with war crimes. Let's instead put them into high-level positions in the CIA.
They weren't all bad guys. Some of them were actually, you know, Jewish scientists that left. I mean, isn't that how Einstein ended up in America? Teaching, physics in New Jersey or something?
I have no idea. I have not heard this story.
Yeah, and some of them were, you know, Nazi war criminals. But yeah, it was basically the lend-lease program of hijacking scientists from Europe. Yeah, from Nazi Germany and other foreign countries brought to the United States for employment in the aftermath of World War II. I actually know a guy that was brought over here like this. It was it was a guy from Prague that – that was brought over. I met him in San Francisco, in LA at a poetry reading. His name was Kurt Lahovic, and I was friends with him. He used to come over to my house, and I'd been over to his house. He invented a technology that enabled integrated circuits to be developed. And he worked for, I think it was Honeywell, and he was paid $1 at the time, but his name's on the patent. And he actually, at one point, when he was in the U.S., had to walk into Canada. The government had him walk into Canada and then walk back into America so he could get a stamp on a passport that he didn't have so they could make him a citizen. It was some, like, weird workaround loophole thing.
Worms.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Yeah. It's Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. Time for the redemption in the third act. Are you feeling redemptive, Davy Barker?
I don't feel like I was ever unredeemed, but I could use a little more redemption.
Cool, man. I want to talk about Kurt Lahovec, and I will link this in the show notes today on the Freedom Fiends podcast archive of this, but if you want to look it up on your own, if you're playing the home game version and don't have the internet but do have Wikipedia, I don't know, does that make sense? If you don't want to go to my site, you can go to Wikipedia and search K-U-R-T-L-E-H-O-V-E-C. This guy was an acquaintance friend of mine. I mean, I don't have a lot of friends. I have like 12 friends, and my wife is my friend, my best friend. And I have like, other than my wife, I have like 12 best friends, and they're all Freedom Fiends co-hosts, I think. But Kurt Lahovic was a friend of mine, you know, in that we hung out, we had some long conversations. He'd been to my house, I'd been to his house. And this is kind of redemption, the third act thing. This guy, he's born in 1918, died in 2012. He was from Bohemia. He was one of my Bohemian friends from Los Angeles. And that usually means hippie or free spirit in, you know, slang terms. But he was actually from, there's a place called Bohemia, and it's now the Czech Republic. It was like before Czechoslovakia, it was Bohemia, this area. So he was from there. He's brought over in Operation Paperclip, where they took a lot of people from Europe who, you know, either were Nazis, which this guy wasn't, or were people who like survived being persecuted by the Nazis, which this guy was, and gave him jobs working in, you know, technology in America, usually in the military-industrial complex, which he invented the concept, innovated the concept of the PN junction isolation used in every circuit element with a ring guard. And I'm quoting here, a reverse bias PN junction surrounding the planar periphery of that element. This patent was assigned to Sprague Electric. This is something that without this, the integrated circuit would not exist. You know, somebody else might have done it. I think he actually said that at some point. Like, you know, if I hadn't done it, someone else would have. But he actually did it. The patent is in his name, but he was working for Sprague Electric, and his contract said they owned anything. So he was paid a dollar for coming up with the thing that enabled integrated circuits. So without my friend Kurt Lahovic, you wouldn't have podcasting, you wouldn't have Bitcoin, you wouldn't have the interwebs, you wouldn't have all these wonderful things that are happening today. You probably would, because someone else would have done it. But he is directly responsible in a good way for coming up with that. Now, let me talk a little bit about this cat. I met him at an open mic poetry reading in Los Angeles at the Tsunami Cafe on Sunset Boulevard in the Silver Lake District. And in the Silver Lake District, nobody who lives there would say that. They'd say in Silver Lake. But he was reading from one of his self-published books of poetry of love poems. And I thought that was really sweet because this guy, he was old. I mean, let's see, he was born in 2008. He was born in 1918, died in 2012. You know, he was almost 100 when he died. He was 90, I'm doing math here, 98, something like that. 90, what is he? What's 18 minus 12, Davi?
Six.
Six, yeah. So he's 94. I met him a 5 years earlier than that. So I met him when he was like 88, I guess. I had never asked him how old he was, but he was this sweet old man reading poetry, love poetry that he's written at an open mic. And I thought that was so cool. I was there playing my guitar and singing a couple songs. And, you know, I got his number and we went out for coffee, and I had him over to my house a couple times. I filmed some video of him that I don't have, unfortunately, still, but I lost some tapes in a flood of a basement. But I had a still shot from one of the videos, and the picture of Kurt Lahovic on Wikipedia I took. It's a frame, it's a single frame from some video I took of him in my apartment. You can see the cracked mirror on the wall behind him. No, I didn't have an anger problem. The mirror was cracked when I moved into that house. But somebody from the Computing History Museum in San Jose actually wrote me and saw this picture on my website and said, we can't find a picture of Kurt Lahovic anywhere. Can we use this one? And I was like, yeah, man. And I put a Creative Commons notice on it and they used it. But the cool thing about this guy was, like, he actually had some kind of pension from something and had some money. And he had this really nice house that he owned. And it was, one side of it was really nice, and he was letting homeless people live there. And the other side of it he lived in, and it was kind of run down. So basically, like, he gave the best of what he had to, like, people he met on the street or in coffee shops or something. I thought that was really cool. This guy, Kurt Lahovic, look him up. Good guy, friend of mine, and he helped enable us to do what we're doing. So,
sounds like a Bohemian Bohemian.
He is a Bohemian's Bohemian, man, Kurt Lahovic. I tip my Bitcoin hat to you, sir.
Worms.
Worms. Great show, Davi. Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service. I have not been contacted by the government.
Nor have I. Worms.
Worms.
That's the other thing. Worms is, if we ever stop saying worms, we've been contacted by the government. Worms.
The worm is the warrant canary.
Yes.